Hello, and welcome to this week's Next Sense Institute podcast. My name's Trudy Smith, and I am the Manager of Continuing Professional Education at the Next Sense Institute, and I'm your podcast host. We're continuing our series on advocacy, and we've got my friend Michael Clarkson, who's joining us today. And I do just want to let you know that Michael's responding to my questions in sign, and we've got Sean Sweeney here who's voicing on behalf of Michael. So welcome, Michael. It's lovely to have you with us. Could you please introduce yourself to our audience?
Thank you, Trudy. I'm really happy to be here today, and I'd love to help out with any sort of questions you have. And I'm the assistant principal for the Department of Education, and I've been doing that for 6 years. And prior to that, I've been working in deaf education for quite a long time, for about 27 years. Yeah, this year will be my 27th year. And I used to visit, teachers of the deaf as well. And I'm bilingual and bicultural myself. And I also work within the programs within the education system and also advise on Auslan. And in the good old days in, 1997, right up through into the 2000s. So far, that's what I've been doing. Yeah, and I'm a father of five children, and all of them are hearing, except for I've got a deaf daughter.
Right. Thank you for that introduction to you, Michael. It's interesting. You're 1 year ahead of me. I'm in my 26th year as a teacher of the deaf. So you're in good company today, where we don't talk too much about figures of how long we've been in the field. But I'm really interested, Michael, to talk about advocacy today. And I'm interested in your experiences as an advocate for yourself to begin.
I just want to say that the advocacy came later on in my life with my working life. And when I went to university, it's when it actually started. And I had to advocate on behalf of myself. And remember in the old days, in the 70s and 80s, and there was no education about advocacy in the past. So for myself, when I first started in the education industry, I was quite oblivious as to what to do and what is actual advocacy mean for myself. And, I had to build the confidence and understand the needs so that way I could advocate for myself. The first time I started to do it, it was quite important. And that's when I started my journey of learning. And then I passed it on to other people to advocate.
Sure. Can you give us some examples of the things that you then had to advocate for, Michael?
I had to advocate so many things. I advocated for, let's just say, captioning in a public space, and also advocate for, working with, attitudes and, socializing with people and working in that particular area and working on the needs for people like myself and how it works for other people within education and the benefits that they receive and I receive from advocating and, slight little changes to make it much easier for me to be a part of it and in society as well.
Thank you. And that leads really nicely to my next question about your experiences of advocacy for the deaf community more broadly and the work that you've done in that space.
Advocacy is something that I've worked with for many years, and technology is evolving at such a rapid rate, and people aren't really aware of what technology and the amazing technology that is out there to improve the advocacy. And also, for example, I need interpreters and captioners and captioning, and also for university students when they started to go to university, what things were needed and what they needed to ask for and the supports that were in place and, for example, a note taker and so on. And tutoring and working with a positive role model in that position from another experienced student, and that's really important. Yeah, there's a lot.
It is, and a lot of that is that education, and I wonder if there's advocacy that you've done in the community more broadly, whether there's around your local community, have there been mindsets and changes that you've taken on board or tried to change those mindsets?
That's actually quite challenging within the community in comparison to the education field. In education, we've got strict policies and we can work with that. But working within the community, it's a lot more frustrating in comparison. And it's a little bit behind in the community in comparison to the education sector. Often, you know, we tell people out in the community to, you know, look at me face to face when I'm talking to you or communicating with you. I talk to people on the phone and I use a video relay interpreting, and people might think I'm looking at the video and think that I'm rude, but I'm looking at my interpreter. And then doctors are starting to realize and understand that I need that technology, and that's a part of the education that is passed on through the community. And this way, it's all about knowing how to adjust appropriately to be able to bring in the interpreter into this space. And it's a good learning curve for everybody out there in the community to see these things and understand and learn from them. And this is why we have another person in the room or in that space. And we never say to them that I'm deaf. Most doctors would look at me and go, oh, why have you got another person with you? And I would explain to them that I have an interpreter. But once they've seen it, it just runs smoothly thereon.
Yeah. And I guess by the very nature of that, the next person who comes through doesn't have to have that conversation because the doctor is already understands why it's so important. So you really are paving the way for people behind you.
Yeah. And in the deaf community, also, it's about communicating with other deaf people. And then what they do is that they share the knowledge and understanding that deaf people will create an awareness, and they will point out that organisations need awareness training and things like that. So, and often we pass on that information amongst ourselves, and there's lots of benefits for businesses and organisations to understand how the deaf community works. From a financial point of view, that's what happens. And also the exposure for deaf people and hard of hearing people is on a better scale. Oh, sorry, my arm's a bit sore.
and thank you. We should let people know Michael's just had a shoulder reconstruction and he's doing superbly in communicating with us this morning. And you've touched on this a little bit, Michael, but I wonder why the work of advocacy is so important to you.
It's really important for me to create that understanding and educate people. And I'm just going to have a quick look at my notes. I've actually written some notes down. You know, social inclusion. And it reduces that stigma, you know, the labelling that happens out in the community and what happens out there amongst the community. And, the community itself needs to work with this, and they don't need to be scared of the big changes that are happening in the society today. And what's really important, I know that when you work out into the community and you go into the community, there's lots of work involved. You know, like the legal system, for example. Juries and having access to things like that. And this is one area in the justice system where there's lots of fear from legal people and professionals out there, and they judge that deaf people can't work in that particular environment and we don't do a good job. So we have to advocate and educate these people in the justice system to be able to give us access and be a part of the community and to be able to do jury duty, for example. And our job is just to be a part of the community, and we need to do it well. And as a deaf person, as a hearing person, would understand that and see it work.
Absolutely. And I think all of that is just making sure that you're as engaged in all of those community activities, good, bad, or otherwise, that hearing people are.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. The problem is there's attitudes we've got to work on and break down these attitudes. And there's so many limitations that have been put on deaf people in society and also in a social situation.
Absolutely. And it sounds like you are a very strong and positive advocate in that way. And people listening to you, Michael, particularly the deaf and hard of hearing community, what advice do you have for them when they're considering being either a self-advocate or an advocate for the deaf community?
I just always say to people within the community, just to be a positive role model. And I often say to them, look, my experience, this actually worked for me and this didn't actually work for me. And I'll tell them about the challenges that I had experienced. And I just want to show people and share people my experiences. And this is better for everybody to learn from other people and what they could actually advocate for themselves.
Sure. And I'm aware that you're a teacher, and so you have a really positive influence on the students who are deaf and hard of hearing that you support. What advice do you give them for interacting with those teachers who mightn't be open to making education experiences equal in the classroom?
Yeah. When I'm actually working and educating the program and designing a program for children, a lot of our outcomes for language and speech and sign language and so on, and listening skills, there's a whole list of them. And the one of the outcomes really is really what is really important is self-advocating. And we need to teach students on how to advocate for themselves. And we need to build that into our program and make them, you know, grow and learn from a positive point of view. And I really want to emphasize positive advocacy is really, really important. And that's an important skill for students to have and understand and learn. And I want to be their role model and show them how to do it from a positive way and develop that positively.
So I'm here, you know, it's really important that we make sure that our advocacy is from that positive perspective, because people are less likely to do things when they feel attacked. But when it's from a more helpful and positive perspective, people are more likely to take on board your recommendations and suggestions.
Yeah, definitely. And that's exactly what I'm trying to say, is that if you're trying to do it from a negative point of view and say, oh, this doesn't work for me, and you become very negative, that will not help. And it puts them off, especially if you're trying to advocate for yourself. And it comes back to role modeling and a positive role modeling and attitude and creating that good skill.
Brilliant. And you are a very positive, I know you in my professional life as a very positive role model. And I thank you for your time today, particularly given that you're coming back from an injury. And I thank Sean for his time and support too. So thank you, gentlemen, for your time today.
You're welcome. And I just want to say thank you for your lovely words today, Trudy. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. And thank you, everyone, for being with us today. And we look forward to talking to you next week.